there were moments in this episode where I was like, man, I really hope Omega's not force sensitive. It felt like a very well-traveled route in storytelling.
We've seen this a little bit before. I don't necessarily need to see her fulfill her destiny as a Jedi. Although I would
be happy
that,
to.
Right?
Yes.
Right.
Krypton to Alderaan. Krypton to Alderaan. Krypton to Alderaan. Krypton to Alderaan.
Welcome, everyone, to Krypton to Alderaan. I'm Joey, your Star Wars lover. And with me is Royish Good Looks.
Hello, podcast. Hello, Joey.
Hello. This episode, we can reach out and touch each other. We are having a very special 500 subscriber celebration episode in which we're recording in the same room at the same time together again for the first time in at least years.
This is where it all started.
Yeah.
In this room, this studio.
In this very room. So it's a very special occasion, and we'll get to a little bit more of that in a bit, but we are the podcast that analyzes nerdy pop culture stuff, but it's mostly Star Wars, and this episode we will be reviewing, analyzing, gushing over The Bad Batch, Season 3, Episode 9, The Harbinger. But first, like I said, we are excited, humbled, stupefied, dumbfounded. What are all the words?
We made it.
We made it to 500 subscribers, which is just incredible. It's so amazing to see. It's been such a big push for the last few episodes of this podcast. We've gotten so many subscribers. So we really appreciate everyone who has subscribed recently, everyone who's been here, everyone who's told a friend if that's happened, everyone who's helped us get this far, especially all the people who have been so supportive all along the way. It's been very incredible to see. We love doing this show. We love talking about Star Wars, and we really love everyone's support. And the fact that there are 500 people at least who clicked that button and said, I'd like to hear more about what these two idiots have to say about Star Wars and other nerdy pop culture stuff is incredible.
And also, I literally mean we, as in not you and me, Joey, but everybody out there that's also listening. It's a team effort.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Dude, I think this is episode 108 that we're doing. So anybody out there that's working on your own little projects, like a little aside from Star Wars and our conversation today, but took 100 episodes to get 500 people on board.
Yeah.
So stick with it. In 2019, when we started this in this room, you and I were the only ones listening to this podcast.
Yes. We had two subscribers and they are both currently in this room right now.
First.
Yeah. First. Yeah, it's incredible. I'm so excited to have had this happen, and I'm so excited to continue the momentum and see where we go next. And thank you again to everyone. And for now, let's punch it. Okay, I would like to start with Royce offering me an official apology for thinking that I was wrong in thinking that Fennec did not sell out the Bad Batch.
We couldn't have just left this off air. You got to put me on the spot now.
Everyone knows you said it. It's in the history books. It's for all recorded in perpetuity for all to have heard that you thought Fennec sold out the Batch.
I mean, that was my suggestion for the title thumbnail for last week.
Yeah.
This is clearly where the series is going. She sold them out to Dr. Hemlock.
Yeah.
Not the case. So it was Ventress all along.
Yeah.
And somehow she found the Bad Batch.
And somehow Ventress returned. I think that's one of the main themes of this. So I guess a little backstory for those who have not kept up with Ventress, or maybe who have never even seen Ventress before. Asajj Ventress, certainly not anyone in this room. This isn't an education for anyone in this room. Asajj Ventress was a big part of the Clone Wars animated TV show. Maybe not super big part, but she had the episodes that she was in were important episodes. And she became kind of like a fan favorite character. I think that's fair to say. She had lots of twists and turns and lots of character development. She started as Dooku's apprentice. And then by the end of the Clone Wars animated TV show, was no longer Dooku's apprentice and in fact had tried to assassinate him. And in fact, he had like waged war with all of the Night Sisters on Dathomir, in which she fought and mostly everyone died. And then there was a book, Dark Disciple, that chronicled the next bit of her life. Spoiler alert, by which the end of the book, she dies. And so this is where we're picking up back up with her. So somehow Ventress has returned. Night Sister magic or something somehow has gotten us here. So, I mean, we knew that it was spoiled in the trailer for this season, which was very cool to see. There's sometimes a little bit of me that is like, man, I wish they had saved that reveal for the actual episode, but it was exciting to see her in the trailer. And here we are. She has returned and she's better than ever, if you ask me.
I mean, the reveal wasn't like we saw her in the trailer, so it didn't have to be really exciting in the show. Like she just kind of like fades in, like almost literally in the show. She just comes out of the shadows. She's discovered. There's not really a dramatic reveal there. So that's just interesting how that unfolded. I also really appreciate that this is one of those few moments in Star Wars where they're bringing in a legacy character or a character from another franchise where I didn't really feel too like, oh, you're shoehorning her in here, you know, which it's been the case with a lot of other characters. But there's clearly a weirdness about her where the clones are like, you know, she was a separatist, you know.
War criminal,
they describe her as. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they set this up as like, we know she's kind of a bad guy, but then there's this ambiguity there that they made clear in the way that she held herself and communicated with the Batch and also with Omega, which I'm sure we're going to talk about a lot. So even without having the backstory, like it's obvious like something has happened and we don't see a lot of yellow lightsabers. That was cool.
Very cool.
Clearly an indication of like Ahsoka and the sort of like orange lightsabers with Baylan and Shin, you know, like, is yellow a good or bad color? I'm not really sure. Like green, blue, classic, yellow.
Yeah. Rays at the end is orange or yellow or something. But yeah, you're right. They introduce Ventress and then give her a little bit of backstory. I didn't even pick up on, I mean, I remember that part of the show, but I did not pick up on that being like a little bit for the audience who might not be familiar. Like Crosshair comes up with the data pad and is like, you're right, it's her, Asajj Ventress, war criminal, etc. Yeah, it super didn't feel shoehorned in. I mean, last episode, Fennec could have been like, you need to find my friend Asajj Ventress, right?
And you're taking the words right out of my mouth. That's my line.
And we could have gone on that journey and you would have said that and then I would have had to find a way to defend the way they did it in some way. So I'm glad to not have had any of that. But I was super excited to see Ventress again. I think I've said this on this show before. I love her character journey. I love her redemption journey. And we're getting, I don't know, the redemption has really just like been part of this season of this show for me so much that it was cool to also see like Ventress fitting in there a little bit. I know I've asked you this before, and it's also recorded for perpetuity, but I can never remember where you stand. Were you familiar with the character? The 2008 animated movie
is she in
or
the
whatever.
Movie?
I don't remember if she's in the Clone Wars movie, but she's in the
2D series.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely the like,
yes,
like,
yes, yeah.
Coming in from the side of the screen with like motion blur in the background. That's about all I thought. Like she was just bad guy Sith.
Yeah. Yeah. She's really cool. It's good to have her back. I am excited to see where they go with that, but I think we'll
yeah, about that.
Yeah. I'm excited that she flew off into space at the end of this episode. Good riddance. Now, I have some speculation station. I have a few stops along speculation station that we'll get into at the end of this episode. Aside from maybe me being a big fan of Ventress, we also asked the question last episode, like, is Omega Force sensitive? Ventress shows up and tells Clone Force 99 about the M count and what that means. And that it means, you know, some people believe, she said, this was like the way she worded it was also, I think, purposeful and a little bit weird. But she's like, some believe that a higher M count makes you more aptitude at being able to wield the Force or something like that. And so Omega gets all excited, right? But we still don't know. The jury's still out. I will say that throughout this episode of these amazing, I really dug the like training sequences, but there were moments in this episode where I was like, man, I really hope Omega's not Force sensitive, because that felt like, it felt like a very well-traveled route in storytelling. Did you get that at all? Like, were there any moments where you were like, oh, I really hope this is or is not the case?
Yeah, I love the way you just phrased that, because even before we started recording, we were like scrubbing through the episode, kind of reviewing our notes. And how many times have we seen someone reach out with your feelings? Yeah. Maybe not a million times, but Luke, Rey, Sabine, Omega, And Sabine and Omega, like, there's a lot of parallel there to me of, like, maybe you're not naturally, you know, the talent is a factor sort of thing. Like, you've got to work on it a little bit more. And Asajj says a lot of those similar lines. And I do love all those poetry moments. Like, I don't think we'll ever really get tired of, like, someone trying to tap into the Force. It was the most beautiful part of last week's episode.
Right.
And that was even before Omega knew what the M count even meant. Right.
You mean with the meditation with Crosshair?
Yeah. And she knew that that was a Jedi ritual and she was just kind of into it, not knowing that she might have the aptitude there.
Sure.
Now we're getting like this sort of ambiguous, maybe you do have the aptitude, maybe not. But we've treaded the ground so much before and she's just a naturally loving person. She doesn't also have to be a Jedi. This is kind of another Star Wars trope of like, does everybody have to be related to Anakin Skywalker?
Right,
or, you know, does everybody have to be a Jedi? It's a beautiful sentiment. And I still want to believe in that, that you could tap into it, right? I think she is tapping into it when she's meditating with Crosshair. But certainly glad that she didn't end up, a lot of people have said this, you know, levitating something at the end of the episode. Even when she retrieves the flower and she's like, I did it, see? Like, yeah, because you rode Batcher there.
Yeah.
You know, so it wasn't because you needed to like reach out literally with the Force and do something you would not have been capable otherwise. I'm with you. The way you phrased it was very generous. We've seen this a little bit before. I don't necessarily need to see her fulfill her destiny as a Jedi. Although I would
be happy
that,
to. Yes.
Right. Right. This is a funny thing is like, we'd love to see that, but I think she's got something like she could have more to offer than that cliche trope.
Yeah. I keep going back to my belief that whether it was based on something that was said early in this series or not, but thinking that the Bad Batch defective clones, enhanced clones, however you want to say it, like they all have abilities that the other clones didn't have. So is this like experimentation that Nala Se did with M count, stuff like that, where maybe it's a little bit in my head canon that Hunter has senses, heightened senses, right? And Wrecker's big and strong and Crosshair is maybe has better eyesight. I don't know. They all seem to have heightened aptitudes for things that I was just attributing to like experimentation by Nala Se or the Kaminoans with, you know, expanding cloning, including like M counts or DNA from heightened M count peoples or whatever. So I think that Omega, she has fallen into that category as well. And yeah, she's learning about Jedi from Gungi and now Ventress. And even if she doesn't have the Force aptitude, she's still like taking the positive teachings out into the world, like we said last week, which is what I really love. But I also really loved seeing this training. I mean, aside from being like, well, maybe I hope she doesn't like lift up a rock or lift up a fish or stop herself from falling off the rock with the Force or something. I really loved seeing the training that Ventress like put her through. I'm not convinced that like going up to get that white blossom was part of the training and not just to like
diversion.
Ventress knew that they had found out who she was. Like
that was just so we could get the fight scene.
Yeah, yeah. She was like, you know, in a way, maybe like protecting Omega by getting her out of there or like not letting her see what
the
was
adults
happening.
Have to have a conversation for a minute.
With, meanwhile, she's older than Clone Force 99. But I really dug the training and the way Ventress handled her. I don't know. If you're not that familiar with Ventress, this is like very not Ventress that we saw in the Clone Wars, right? She's calm, cool, and collected. Again, kind of a very, like what I said about Fennec last week for me, kind of a soothing presence. She's just like, she doesn't get upset. She doesn't get riled. She's just kind of there adjusting and talking to Omega very kindly. It does seem at some points like Omega's also infecting her with her genuine niceness.
Don't smile.
Yeah, I really loved that scene. Don't smile, it's off-putting or whatever she had said. So I think the training was just cool to see either way. And it was just cool. It was great to see Ventress. The characters that they could have brought in to do this are probably many, but that they like specifically chose Ventress and that she was a villain. She had a red lightsaber. She did fight as Dooku's apprentice and she did a lot of damage and she's like killed a lot of clones, but she is being redeemed and this is the next step in her journey, teaching someone who might be Force sensitive.
I love how she tells Omega, or Omega's like, I have been trained. And she's like, this is a different kind of training.
Right.
You know, like there's a bigger, larger world, you know, sort of thing. But dude, the elephant in the room is Asajj tells Hunter and Wrecker and Crosshair, like, she's probably going to need a Jedi Master if she's going to be a Jedi. This is like the Obi-Wan, like, you have to go to Alderaan if you're going to learn the ways of the Force. Like, they give her this, like, new journey that she could potentially go on. And she's very clear that, Hunter, you can't fulfill this role for her. And we've kind of talked about this, like, reluctant father thing of, like, maybe Crosshair is going to be the father sort of thing. Like, you know, if Hunter's not in the picture or whatever, Crosshair and Omega are bonding. But now Asajj throws this other curveball of, like, well, maybe she's going to go off to the Jedi Temple and learn the ways of the Force and reject all attachments. And that's such a different storyline than freeing the clones from Tantus. I loved it, but it's a potentially weird left turn from where we're going. And now Asajj is gone, but she's planted the seed in Omega. Are we going to continue to explore it? Is Ventress just gone and do we reset the canon after this episode? She recalled this Gungi thing from last season.
Right.
It seems kind of weird to introduce that. Not even introduce. This whole episode was Jedi training with Omega. That wasn't like a throwaway scene.
Right.
There's multiple training.
Yeah.
They have the fight and they go back out in the ocean. They have this whole communing with animals thing. That's very beautiful.
I love it when Star Wars is nice to animals. And I love when Jedi and Force sensitive people commune with animals. That is one of the coolest Force abilities to me.
That's, well, they're like, out in the middle of nowhere. So cool. And she's like, you can just talk to nature.
Yeah. Were you worried in that scene? I was worried that not when Ventress walks up and like does the thing with the fish, but when she drives Omega out into the middle of nowhere, I was so worried that she was going to do a sink or swim thing, kick Omega overboard, and then you have to like use the Force to save yourself.
I did think that platform was going to
collapse. Her. Yeah, I'm so glad that didn't happen because I was like, don't do it, Ventress. Please just be good. And she doesn't, which I think like it subverted my expectations because I expected it to be like, that's also very tropey and well-treaded ground. And I was so excited that they didn't do that and went a different way with it. And I think you had mentioned before we were recording, so I will take credit for it now. Saying that that's like a very Dagobah moment with the apprentice being like, well, what can you do? You don't know anything. And then the master steps up and pulls all the fish to the surface.
Sometimes
or pulls
you
the X-Wing
down
up. Or, yeah.
A 360 tomahawk every now and then and show them who's boss.
Yeah. And I know that we're going to get into probably a conversation about like, what did this do? Like you're saying, right? Like now we're doing Jedi training. What about the clones on Tantus? And maybe this is going to lead to like Omega having to make a choice about what to do or what she wants to do. Really, I think the seed was planted in Hunter of being like, you're not as safe as you think you are. Omega's special. The Empire wants her. So I think Omega is going to want to save the clones and Hunter is going to want her to not do that even more than he did before. There might be some conflict within the group to deal with there.
Especially she's a clone, now. Though.
Yeah.
I could see if she's like, oh, the Jedi are being hunted. M-count people are being hunted. Now I'm going to help protect them. But she's got this mission with the clones first. Maybe it evolves into Jedi stuff afterwards, but that still seems kind of odd.
Well, we need to hold on to that for speculation station.
We're not there yet.
So put a pin in that.
Sure.
But I do think it would, you know, I don't know, because she does. She's friends with Gungi, and she knows he's out there, and Kashyyyk's not safe. Kashyyyk is one of the, like, in every single Star Wars thing, Kashyyyk is on the video games, TV shows, books, movies, like, the Wookiees get enslaved, right? It's like, Kashyyyk's one of the least safe places in the galaxy. So, she has Jedi friends out there in the world, out there in the galaxy now, that she might also want to protect from people hunting for people with higher M counts or whatever. There's a lot of room for this to go. Regardless of whether Omega has aptitude for the Force or not, we are seeing her adapt these trainings into something better. And she's already adapted these trainings into something good and bringing that good out into the universe. I was talking about the Ventress redemption arc, and we get to the part where Clone Force 99 finds out who she is, and Omega's talking to them on the Marauder. Omega's vouching for her. And it's unclear as to whether, like, Omega is doing that because she trusts Ventress or because she wants to know if she has, like, there's an excitement there, I think, of, like, I could be a Jedi or whatever she says, you know? So she's trying to rationalize keeping her around. But Crosshair says, you're being too naive or you're being naive or something like that. And Omega says, I didn't give up on you, did I? I keep going back to it, but I really love that tie into the Crosshair Redemption that they're kind of like, don't forget, this is also still going on, right? Because we haven't really dealt with that in a couple episodes. But that she's still infecting these people, these rugged, rough edges beings, grumpy beings out in the universe with her goodness. Because then at the end, he offers his hand to Ventress as well to get her back up on the Marauder after the giant shellfish attack, which was also very cool. Also, the animation in this episode was amazing. In that particular series of scenes, their wet hair, Ventress's wet hair looked so good. And then the like bioluminescent reflections of the shell of the creature when she calms it down. I mean, there's a wide shot there where we see Ventress and that creature that just looks amazing, but also the animation was stellar.
Yeah. Dude, I've wanted to mention this several times. Like, they've been in the water a lot this season. And like, even just the water looks good. Like, I think about playing like N64 and the water being like not affected when you jump into it sort of thing. It's being jagged. Like, it's incredible that they're like, yeah, we can do this scene.
Yeah.
Sure. No problem.
Whatever the animators are getting paid for this show and this season of the show specifically, it's not enough. It's not enough what they're getting paid.
I texted you the other day and I was like, this looks better than Attack of the Clones,
yeah,
which is basically a CG movie.
Yeah. It's very true. The whole thing just looked so, I don't know, we're like slipping into production stuff here now and away from the plot, but the whole thing just looked so good. The animation of this specific episode looks, it just like the episodes keep end up looking better and better. And again, it was like daylight. There was no like hiding weird animation stuff in a cover of darkness. And then when Ventress is fighting Hunter and Wrecker and Crosshair in the cave and they're speeding it up, I think it just looks so good. It looked a little bit silly to me at first, but then I was like, well, I think they're trying to show that everyone's very competent fighter. And so they want to show them fighting very quickly. And there's no other way to do that. They're not going to slow-mo something, which
corny.
Is the way any live action thing would do this. So I really like that. But it also made me ask another question in that, do we think Ventress is also testing the rest of the Bad Batch in those moments? I think she knows more here, but there's a lot in, like, she throws the knife at Hunter's feet and there's just a lot. And she's obviously riling them up when she doesn't have to. She's very specifically riling them up, especially right after when they find out who she is. But then there's a point in their fight where she's winning and Hunter's like, what do you want? And she's like, maybe I'll just take Omega with me, right? Like, she's not going to do that, but she's trying to rile them up. And it felt like she was also, it felt to me like she was also testing them.
Yeah, I think we're pulling into speculation station with that. I could buy into it. I think that's more on the lines of thinking like, we're showcasing how they're ill-equipped to actually protect Omega. Like, she comes out of nowhere and she's like, maybe I'll just take her from you. Fennec sort of says the same thing. Like, you guys, they thought she'd be safer with me than you guys. You guys are a bunch of bumbling idiots.
Yeah.
So I think maybe that was part of the character development there, that she was like, I'll make it a fair fight. I won't use my lightsaber and I'll still wreck all you guys.
Yeah.
Even though she cheats and uses the Force, but those were some wicked cool moments. Yeah, I also thought the fight looked odd at first, but I agree with you that maybe that's, you have to just do it that way. To me, it looked almost like claymation, sort of like motion, like a little jittery, but it was a great scene, lots of fun moments in there. I love when Asajj slaps Wrecker, like, you know, the big, you know, the most strong member. She's just like, whoops.
Yeah.
Great moments there.
Yeah.
And like you're saying with some of the other animation stuff, the wet hair, like all of it just serves to like pull you into the realism in the scene, like how important it is. More kudos to the animators there. And then I wanted to bring one more thing back to, you were talking with Crosshair, like when they finally all meet back up after that shellfish. I was going to call it, I call every monster Blastoise, but like that one was the closest to Blastoise of any so far, really. But when they meet up after that and they fly in with Marauder, I love that the landing gear is coming down and Crosshair's already coming out. He brings an Omega. It's also great that it was Crosshair. It wasn't anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
It's Crosshair intentionally, right? Reaches his hand out to bring up Asajj. It's like kind of a bummer. Like we've said this a bunch, the like clone cadets at the beginning of the season go away, which would be dope that if we could have saw them last episode or this episode.
Yeah, where are they?
Somebody asked that in the comments of our last episode. And I was like, dang, that's a really...
Yeah.
That's
why wasn't Omega with them? Yeah.
A lot of things to juggle in the show, but that would be cool. You know, Gunji goes away. There's all these characters that come and go that are like, oh, I would love for them to continue amassing this team, a squad. And we keep coming back to the core batch, which is important. And now Asajj is another one of those like notches in the belt of like, that's a cool role model for Omega. And if she's going to be force sensitive, she needs that, you know, or she could go down the path of like the dark side without like the right mentorship sort of thing. I don't know. Just interesting that Crosshair and Asajj, like you said, are going through these kind of redemption arcs in one form or another in different mediums or not. But yeah, they meet there. I like that. And then she's just off.
Yeah. They're very, in my mind, they're very similar characters, Crosshair and Ventress. And I kind of wish they had had a conversation like over dinner on Pabu or something and just being like, I used to be a Sith apprentice. And he would be like, well, I used to work for the Empire. You know, we right. all make these journeys. Right. Like, I would have loved to see him take a little bit of that kind of like Omega wisdom and give it to Ventress. I think a lot of that was in that when he reached out to Ventress. I think a lot of that could be in it because he's still growing and Omega had just told him like, I didn't give up on you, right? And he's like, oh, you're right.
He doesn't say it with words that yeah. that one direction of him extending his hand was enough.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like you've been saying, like he's not good with words. So his actions are what speaks, which yeah. I think for me, the episodes in this season just keep getting better and better. That's how I'm feeling. Last episode, we were talking about how much it would have made sense because we kind of knew Ventress was coming in for it to be a two-parter. I still think that would have made sense for them to do it that way. But it did like leave us on a cliffhanger last week. We were speculating, oh, is Fennec selling them out? Is our problems coming to Pabu? And now we know they're not as safe as they think they are. But even without it being a two-parter that I think would have flowed very well together, I really, really enjoyed this episode a lot. They're furthering the plot, maybe not a ton, but there was just so much in this episode and it was beautiful to look at and there were redemption arcs continuing and ongoing. And yeah, it just kind of had everything and more from my perspective.
Yeah, I agree. I loved it in its bubble. This being the final season, I feel like it opened up doors that I'm like, I want to explore that first season.
Yeah.
Like Grogu goes off and meets Luke. And that obviously didn't pan out very deeply, but I would have loved to have seen that for a whole season. Mando apart from Grogu and then eventually missing each other and coming back together, but not having kind of truncated Grogu's sort of development right. in the Force. I want to see that with Omega. And again, meet up back with the Bad Batch. And then she's got a lightsaber for their duel on Tantus.
Right.
Like that's fine. But we've only got a couple episodes left. I loved it. But it's kind of confusing, like opening so many of those doors yeah. up to like the possibility it could go anywhere. But we still got to wrap the show up.
Yeah. Do you think they're opening up doors for other shows?
I think this, dude, we're in an echo chamber of like, who is getting their own story after yeah. this one? You know, we were saying Rex's Rebellion, Asajj's, you know, redemption story.
Right.
Who is getting their own show?
Yeah. I mean, we know. So the thing with, here we go. Here's pulling into speculation station. The thing with Rex is we know where he ends up. With Ventress, it seems very purposeful that they just decided to bring that particular character into this, which makes me think that they are setting something else up for after the Bad Batch is over, which I would love to see if it is that like Ventress and Quinlan and maybe Rex, since we're getting maybe Rex's clone rebellion extends past this and maybe they all come together to form the path that we see in the Obi-Wan Kenobi show where Ventress is out there saving these high M count people from the Empire. And that's how the underground railroad for those people start, which is what the path is by the time we get to the Obi-Wan Kenobi show. And Quinlan specifically was referenced in the Obi-Wan Kenobi show. And if Quinlan is still alive at this point, he's probably with Ventress. That's where the book The Dark Disciple had the two of them together. So I think it would be it seems very purposeful for them to bring this specific character back in the Bad Batch. And B, if they're going to make her own show, it would be amazing for it to be the start of that or something like that. In fact, I can't think of anything else it would be, but here we are.
I would watch it.
Yep.
All right, listeners, let's keep this conversation going. We'd love to hear from you. Leave your comments if you're here on YouTube and make sure to hit subscribe and be part of the plus 500 subscriber club. I don't know. What's the next goal? Are 1, we going 000. For 1,000?
Yes.
All right. Help us get to 1,000. That's the next milestone for us. Make sure to tune in next week for more nerdy pop culture. But mostly Star Wars. Maybe we'll get to X-Men 97. I think Joey and I are going to watch some episodes later today.
Hell yeah.
Thank you for listening to the podcast today. I've been Royce.
I've been the Harbinger.
And we've been
Krypton to
Pabu. We'll go back to Pabu.
Krypton to Alderaan. Krypton to Alderaan.
I'm surprised we actually didn't riff more about the fact that we were on Pabu the whole time.
Yeah, true.
There you go.